Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Homeder.
So we had a couple of big events, obviously, this past week. You had Chairman Powell talking in front of Congress, and then we had a big, large bank, local bank, fail. The Dow Jones was off the week 4.4%. That's right, just in 1 week. The S&P, 4.5%, flat for the year. NASDAQ down 4.7%. Still up about 6.4% overall year to date. MSCI, the international index, down slightly, 0.4%. Year to date, up 7.4%. So if you have a diversified portfolio and you have exposure to Europe, you've been experiencing a reasonably good year so far. And that's why we advocate that sort of behavior, if you can tolerate that in your portfolio. The 10-year Treasury had a fascinating week. We'll get into that a little bit, but finished the week up a little bit, 0.3%. Overall, again, about flat for the year. Oil down 4%, $76.52 a barrel. And bonds finished the week up 1%. So your bonds are still looking decent. And we'll get into that, of course. So what's happening with the banks? I can't tell you how many people we spoke to yesterday about this. And so I thought this morning I would get into it because bank stocks this past week across the board were hit pretty hard. And that started asking a lot of questions about contagion. And contagion's when that sort of behavior spreads across an entire industry and has pretty dire consequences. You may remember back to 2008, and it seemed like everything was for sale. So this past week, we heard about two banks that were in trouble. First was Silvergate Capital. They announced they were liquidating all their holdings to repay depositors. And then you had Silicon Valley Bank, again, a local bank in Santa Clara, announcing they were selling assets and trying to come up with a capital strategy to stay afloat. Next thing you know, we have the FDIC walking in and taking them over, literally within less than a day. So this was a big turnaround that happened very quickly. Now, as a result of that, virtually all bank stocks, including the large banks, the Chases, the Bank of Americas, Wells Fargo, all started dropping in price on the exchange. And we're talking about the stocks. And so a lot of folks started remembering back to 2008. Remember Lehman Brothers failing, and then it seemed like the domino effect happened thereafter. So I'm going to just start out by saying, look, I appreciate what we're going to call a funding problem with these two banks. And this is not something that's positive. It's not good. Okay. But to jump and say that the entire industry has this problem would probably be a mistake. And I'm saying probably, because again, nothing is for certain. But here's why this is different. The continued implosion of the crypto industry in the wake of the FTX collapse will result in stress at some financial institutions. And the problem at Silvergate appears more the result of that client base as opposed to a broader issue affecting the entire industry. Now, you could argue the same thing for Silicon Valley Bank because they had a high percentage of depositors that relied on cash to stay afloat. And when you had the economy this year that was being affected by rising rates, they needed capital. So looking at Silvergate, they provided services to crypto exchanges like FTX, like Coinbase, Kraken. And so as FTX started to implode, customers needed money to not only pay their employees, but just to have operations work. And so this essentially destroyed Silvergate's deposit base. Silicon Valley Bank, most of their clients were venture capitalists. And these folks are focused on tech companies, the kind that burn through money, hoping that they'll have these massive growth opportunities. And if you look at the environment for high growth, low cash flow VC companies, over the last 14 months. That environment has not been very positive, as we've been hearing, all the layoffs that have been occurring. So these firms had to draw down reserves, cash reserves, that they had in deposit to stay afloat. And of course, that's what came to a head with Silicon Valley Bank, as they were selling off securities to pay the redemption requests that were coming in. And the securities, unfortunately, were upside down in value. So these were very targeted banks with exposure to stress areas in the economy. And that's the reason they've been hit. And there was really nothing especially new about why those two banks are in trouble. But just because Silvergate and Silicon Valley Bank are somewhat unique cases, it doesn't mean that the entire sector doesn't have other headwinds that they're facing. And this is where I want to get into this. So the cost of deposits has risen substantially, and what we call net interest margins are being compressed. Why is that? Well, you have short-term rates. This is what I keep talking about. You have short-term rates rising at a very extreme rate. We've never seen this before in this amount of time where the Feds raise rates so quickly. And so I had someone say this Thursday night at an event we did, well, what about buying a one-year CD? I can get a 5% CD at the bank down the street. And we had started having a conversation about, well, is that a good idea? And then I see the blank stare. So we're going to talk about why that may not be the best idea today. Anyway, that's going on in these other banks. And when you look at longer dated securities, so the 5, the 10, the 20-year treasuries, those rates are lower than the short end. So we have an inversion. That's what I've been talking about, this inverted yield curve. So the business of banking is becoming less profitable. And that's due to the surge in short-term rates and the muted rally that we're seeing in longer-term rates, the inverse. Because that's where banks make their money, is from the spread. So you give them money, you deposit it, they pay you X, they invest it and make Y. Well, if that doesn't work out, and Silicon Valley Bank was a perfect example of that, didn't work out. The securities that they're supposed to buy to have on reserve didn't work out. And so now they're forced to sell them in an open market where they're worth less to pay people who are redeeming at the window, and they don't have the cash. They lost it in the street. It's gone. Figuratively, literally. So that's a problem. Second, Silicon Valley Bank had to sell their bonds, and they had to realize a greater loss than they could afford. So that was, again, just simple math. Normally for banks, it doesn't really matter what the value is of their bond holdings. We call that the mark-to-market value. And the reason that is because they don't have to sell them. They don't have to redeem them. They can wait till they mature and then get that money back as long as, say, the treasury is still around, which in most cases it should be, right? If it's not, we have a bigger problem. So what I want to say is there's really no reason that you should have more than $250,000 at a bank. If you do, you're asking for trouble. Because think about what just happened. Whoa, all right. Well, I don't have mail yet. I'm looking for it. But the reality is, do not have more than $250,000 at a particular institution, because as you just heard, you've got a problem if you do. So that's the message for today. We're going to get into bonds, what this could mean in terms of other banks, what you need to worry about, what you need to be doing right now, because this could be, I hope it's not, but this could be the canary in the coal mine that we all saw back in 2008.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.